The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The meeting that is being convened at Andrews Air Force Base later today is with about 21 of the U.S.'s partners in this broader international coalition against ISIL. We've been pretty candid about the fact that this is a longer-term proposition, and it's predicated on something that necessarily does take a long time, which is building up the capacity and capability of forces on the ground to take the fight to ISIL.
Josh Earnest, the voice of the White House at the Daily Briefing, talking about ISIS and, oh, quite a while. I heard that a few times. That's kind of prepping us for the bad news that this is no short of fair. Neither is this show, lucky for you, right? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So ISIS getting massive gains with the airstrikes hitting. The Islamic State fighters basically surrounding one of Iraq's largest air bases. And, you know, we're talking about the Anbar province. And they are preparing to launch an attack on that main military base. And there is just no stopping them. The men in black, the evil men in black, keep pushing hard. To me, the scariest proposition, and I've said it right from day one, is the idea that they could get to Baghdad. Baghdad would be a disaster, but still, surrounding the large, one of the largest air bases, that's not good. Launching an attack on the air base. I mean, Anbar is overrun with ISIS. They've been trying for months to take it over. They want their Sharia law, that strict Sharia law, to be in every nook and cranny in that part of the world. And they're doing a good job of it in that province. So the coalition forces are trying to fight back, but ISIS is in the great position in Iraq with rocket launchers and tanks in the villages, south and east and everywhere you look. There are no boots on the ground, pretty much, when it comes to the coalition attack. There isn't. It's airstrikes. The president said he's focused on fighting, on the fighting taking place in Anbar, and is saying airstrikes are going to continue there and elsewhere. And the emphasis, again, is on long-term campaign, no quick fixes. He was at Andrews, and he met with military leaders from 22 countries who are part of the coalition project, campaign, if you will. And he says this is the early stages, just like you heard Josh Earnest say there, and that they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep progressing, and there's going to be setbacks. But they're united. 60 countries, by the way, are part of the coalition. 60. In Baghdad, in the meantime, two car bombs explode, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. One targeted a police checkpoint in a Shiite neighborhood. Four people were killed, 12 others injured. The car bomb was driven by someone on a suicide mission, go figure. And that checkpoint, that was the idea, take it down, one of the entrances to the neighborhood. Of course, ISIS immediately releases a statement claiming that the attack killed a member of the Iraqi parliament. So Baghdad is still kind of calm, but there are plots against Baghdad. They're advancing from the west without a doubt. I mean, they're taking more and more territory. They're moving ever so closely to Baghdad. Meanwhile, what about Syria? In Syria, ISIS fighters bombed and blasted their way through Kobani. Lots of smoke, gunfire, what you see in their wake. Coalition air power, now aided by Saudi Arabia, was focusing pretty intently on Syria. And the U.S. Central Command said that they had bombarded ISIS near Kobani using bomber and fighter planes and 21 airstrikes that destroyed two ISIS staging locations. Well, that's good. A building, a truck, and two other cars, and damaged some other property. And the idea is these are preventing the group from resupplying and reloading combat power on Kobani. So it's all coalition in the air all the time when they find the spots, when they hit the spots. But on the ground, different situation. ISIS is putting up the fight. They don't have anything to stop them. And we told you about Turkey. And we told you about the idea that Turkey would allow the U.S. and the other coalition members to use an airbase and territory for training. And Turkish folks responded back and said they hadn't decided whether to allow the use of the airbase. Sounds like there's a communication problem. Yes, Turkey, you can use. Turkey says you can use the base, but then they say, "Well, no, did we say that?" Secretary of State John Kerry says that Turkey is still committed. So somebody got cold feet in between this. Are they really going to host and train and equip people? Are they going to allow certain uses of certain areas? Are they being nitpicky about it? Turkey wants to remove Assad. They've been fighting their own battle with Kurd separatists inside Turkey. They launched strikes against Kurdish positions within Turkey. It's a mess. The quicksand of the Middle East from day to day, especially with ISIS in full force, we keep hearing, oh, well, it's not that big of a threat, except for that the campaign is going to be a lot longer than we thought, and we'd have no boots on the ground, so we think we're hitting certain target areas, but then they're pretty forceful on the ground, too. What? It's kind of a crazy doublespeak is what we're getting. Coming up on this Hour of America tonight, a conversation with Jane Velez Mitchell from Headline News about the crazy Jody Arias trial. And after going through that, now this sentencing phase, well, it's not really a sentencing phase. It's picking a new jury to decide whether or not Jody Arias gets the death penalty. Is she going to not get the death penalty? Is it what's going to happen from there? It's a crazy, crazy another moment in a series of unbelievable things that have happened this entire time. And then we're going to introduce you to somebody who's written an incredible book that's being brought to the big screen, Kill the Messenger. Nick Stokow joins us. He wrote that book. He wrote the book about an incredible journalist who exposed some unbelievable things that were happening. And when I say unbelievable things that were happening, things that were happening with drug kingpins and CIA and other nefarious types, and tying it all together, and a lot of people that wanted to see that story go away. You got CIA, Contras, crack. Remember the series Dark Alliance, Gary Webb? Well, that is what Kill the Messenger is about. It's about Gary Webb. Jeremy Renner, in fact, plays him in the movie. So that's coming up. We're going to have that conversation. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson for Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Continues as far as the attorneys with the jury pool selection process for this upcoming Jody Arias death penalty trial. Many of you have called to throw in your two cents. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show award-winning headline news television journalist Jane Velez-Mitchell. She's the author of a great book, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jody Arias. Jane, thanks for coming back on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, as you're watching this unfold, what are you thinking about what the attorneys are going through with this jury? I mean, it's such a big deal, obviously, because this is the ultimate, this is the ultimate moment before the state versus Arias in the penalty phase of this whole retrial. And I'll tell you after the retrial.
Is dysfunction junction. You've got a judge, I believe, doesn't want to see this happen. I mean, it's already cost taxpayers $2.5 million just for Jody Arias' defense, and that's not even with the penalty phase retrial starting. And you've got a lawyer who doesn't want to represent his client, Kirk Jeremy, Jody Arias' defense attorney. Her lead attorney has asked off several times. You've got a defendant who's a pathological liar. I have to question the wisdom of even doing all this. I mean, really, when you think about it, even if she does get sentenced to death, it's going to be years, maybe decades before that happens. She would have easily been sent away for life. So, I personally question the wisdom of this because I think Prosecutor Juan Martinez, and I'm a big fan of his, did a great job convicting her. But I think he could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory because all they need is one person to say, I can't put her to death, and then it's done.
Yeah. And we've seen this before, obviously. Do you think it's tough? Is there something about a woman who could possibly charm jurors, et cetera, that makes a big difference in cases like Jody Arias's?
Yeah, I think it's harder to sentence a woman to death. Frankly, women are so statistically nonviolent that I spoke to some experts in the death penalty, and they say they don't really have enough figures to really accurately measure whether there's a gender bias, the way they have been able to measure that there's a racial disparity in death penalty sentences. So I think our gut tells us, though, a pretty young woman is harder to sentence to death. Yes.
Yeah. As you said, you like what the prosecutor did, but you don't understand this part of it. As you said, it could blow up the whole thing. Were you surprised that this happened?
No. Listen, you can understand the anger. In my book, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jody Arias, I outline the diabolical behavior of this woman, which really, of so many defendants that I've seen over the years, takes the cake. I mean, this is a woman who not only slaughtered this guy, stabbing him 29 times, slitting his throat ear to ear, but then she proceeded to assassinate his character for 18 days on the witness stand. I can understand the family saying, I want her gone. I can hypothetically talk about, well, the death penalty isn't the answer and you don't solve violence with violence, but I luckily haven't been the victim of losing a family member. So yeah. I can understand where the family's coming from. But really, if you want to get a really big picture of this entire case from beginning to end, read my book, because it is the definitive story, and we have a lot of information in Exposed that did not come out of trial. For example, that she had stalked another guy many years earlier in exactly the way she stalked Travis Alexander. She painted herself as a normal woman until she met Travis, and nothing could be further from the truth. There's also a creepy single white female style imitation thing that she did with the ex-wife of her previous boyfriend. She had a lot of creepy behavior before she ever met Travis.
Yeah, and you talk about, as you said, I read the book, and you tell that in great detail. It's awesome, really. You really hit it out of the park with this one, I have to tell you, Jane. I read it from cover to cover when I was going away, and was on the plane, boom, got off, and was still reading it. And you emphasize, wait, listen, there's a history here. You got to know about this history. And you had great accounts from all those friends who knew both Jody Arias and Travis. And I bet when you were doing the research for this, at times was it kind of jaw-dropping?
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that she did, I'll give you one example. After she slaughters him, she drives off into the desert. And then she calls him and leaves a voicemail and says, hey, a friend of mine and I are going to Shakespeare. We're going to see Othello. You want to come? Who does that?
I agree with you. Any chance do you think that they're going to have any kind of a plea deal here, a potential deal?
You know, when it comes to Jody Arias, never say never. Anything's possible. I have no idea what could happen. You could have a postponement on the 11th hour. It happens all the time in this case. I mean, remember, Travis was killed in 2008, now 2014, heading into 2015, and the penalty phase of retrial hasn't even started. So I would say when it comes to this crazy case, never say never.
Yeah, and you certainly, in your career, you've covered them. Was this one of the craziest of all of them? Would you rank this at the top of the list?
Well, each trial is crazy in its own way. O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson trial molestation, Conrad Murray, Michael Jackson death trial, Casey Anthony, George Zimmerman, Robert Blake. They were all crazy in their own ways. But this one, I have to say, yes, it will. Some portions of this trial will flash before me in my deathbed.
I like that. All right. Always fun to have you on the show. Jane Velez Mitchell. Pick up her book. It's great. Expose the Secret Life of Jody Arias. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So interesting to have Jane on the show because she was there for that whole trial. And in her book, she does tell all these crazy stories you had no idea about. So the troubled, obsessive, crazy love affair between Jody Arias and the motivational speaker, Travis Alexander, who she killed. And as Jane said, in 2008, you got to think of that, too. Arias was 28 and shooting Alexander, who was just 30, in the head. She described part of that. She stabbed. You got to think about this, folks, in case you forgot what she did. She stabbed him 30 times, slit his throat. She was convicted on the murder charge in May of last year. And this was a huge TV trial. There is no question about that. So now with this retrial that's already started, and they expect that this is going to last probably until mid-December, they're in that process, could go longer if they don't hurry up with this potential jury stuff, because they got at least 300 potential jurors that they're going through. And, you know, they're filling out questionnaires, do they have the time, you know, the whole life and death decision thing. That's the kind of stuff the jury is actually looking at answering in these questions in the pool. So now that that's started and they're looking at the prospective jurors and how long will this trial last, when they're saying handicapping and say December, like I mentioned, I think there's a chance it could even go longer than December. But the jury is just deciding whether she gets the death penalty or life in prison, because she's already been found guilty of first-degree murder by the first jury, which also determined the murder was committed in an excessively cruel manner. So check this out. In Arizona, under state statute, the cruelty manner of the murder is a big factor that qualifies Arias for death. But what's interesting is, like Jane and I were talking about, they don't even have statistics because it's so rare, although it has happened. In Texas, it's happened a few times. There are women that have been sentenced to the death penalty and have been put to death, but it is very rare compared to men. And crazy enough, Arias is not representing herself in the second trial. She considered it and to try to get her attorney off the case, but that didn't happen. And this time around, she's not going to be the big headlines as far as the live streaming of the trial. There's no video coverage, none of that kind of stuff. So that whole circus atmosphere, I think, of the first time around will really change. There's no video or audio can be aired until the trial is over. I think this makes a huge, huge difference in this penalty phase of what the jury is going to decide on Jody Arias. And I think it's going to be tough, though, to get that jury, because how do you find somebody who can actually weigh that life and death situation, right? And they can honestly say they're not swayed if they're still looking for that. If you remember the first trial, there was massive. I just watched it here and there, and it seemed like every time I tuned in, there was just massive objections from both sides. Massive. And the courtroom was so crazy crowded. And then Arias would say amazingly nonsensical things at times. It really was, I think, one of the most chaotic court proceedings. And I didn't watch this end to end, but even in the short time that I checked into it or when I looked at the clips afterwards, it was one of the nuttiest things I think that I have ever seen in a courtroom. So what happens now and how they pull this jury together and what they decide, I'm going to say there is a good chance they may not get the death penalty. All right, stick with us. More to come here next on America Tonight.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Yeah.
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
We'll be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Book, and this book is awesome, and now we got a movie coming out. Nick Scow is in our virtual green room, if there is such a thing, and he's the author of the book Kill the Messenger, which this new film is based on, that's coming out starring Jeremy Renner. It opens up, I think, this week, and it's the true story of journalist Gary Webb, who had the Dark Alliance series in the 90s, if you remember, that was linked to crack cocaine in L.A. and elsewhere to some other drug traffickers, along with the CIA's Contra Army in Nicaragua. Nick, thanks for coming on the show.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me.
All right, so for you, let's roll back to Kill the Messenger and pulling that book together. Man, it must have been wild weaving your way through some really dark corners. What was that like, pulling that together?
Well, in some ways it was easy because at the time Dark Alliance came out, I was a young reporter here in Orange County, and the story had unfolded. In my neck of the woods, there was a ex-Orange County police officer that somehow got wrapped into this drug ring. So I had actually reported on it at the time. And, you know, I saw what happened with Gary's story, how it kind of got out of his hands, how it got spun in different directions, and his career was destroyed as a result. So ultimately, when he committed suicide, I felt like, you know, this full story needed to be told, and that's why I decided to write the book.
Yeah, and when you talk about the full story, and you talk about ultimately Webb and taking his own life, was it just that he was overcome with what he had, you know, been in the middle of, or what was it that ultimately led to that?
Yeah, well, you know, Gary's story quickly turned him into a celebrity, but after the nation's biggest newspapers ganged up on him and then went through his entire career seeking to sort of discredit him, he basically got hounded out of journalism. He never worked in daily journalism again after that, and it led to a sort of a downward spiral in his life. And so my book was, you know, an attempt to kind of reexamine the story, what it got right, what it got wrong, and his entire career, what kind of a reporter Gary Webb was, and what this says about the state of journalism in America. And so, for sure, there were, you know, complicating factors that led to his demise, but the biggest event in his life by far was Dark Alliance.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think of the current state of journalism right now in the United States?
It's sad. As a, I feel lucky to be employed in print journalism, and I think the film actually really captures this very well, just the difference between today and back in the 90s when print reporting was still much more powerful an industry than it is now. And, of course, Dark Alliance is one of the first big major newspaper exposés to be published on the Internet. And so it kind of happened at a really interesting time, and things have sure changed since then. And it's very difficult for news reporters to do their job when they can't make a living as investigative reporters. We need more Gary Webbs and, you know, less gawkers, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because investigative reporting, people, somebody would be just amazing. And there's a, I went to journalism school and I can remember all the heavy hitters, and everybody picked different people that they liked. They liked their particular style of writing. And so many of us aspire to do that and have the time and the resources to do it. And that's part of the problem, of course, now, as you were saying, and with papers, they don't have investigative journalists so much anymore, so that's fallen by the wayside. But how much do you think that hurts the information that gets out to the masses, because those investigative reporters broke huge stories, and, you know, they would pursue it to no abandon, even at sometimes risking their own lives? And I think personally some information now falls right through the cracks because there's no one there to catch it. What do you say?
I think that even at the height of investigating reporting, there were secrets that should have been uncovered that weren't. And so for sure now, where you have far fewer investigative reporters and serious newspapers and media outlets actually trying to do that type of work, there's much more that's secret. And so if it weren't for, quite frankly, these very controversial leakers like Snowden and Manning, for example, I think a lot of this stuff wouldn't be known to the public that we now know about. But those leaks did reveal, like, the level of abuse of you know, secrecy that the government has been perpetrating in recent years, and it was a total shock to the world because it had not been uncovered by journalists. So who knows, you know, how these secrets might have gotten out had the media been able to do its job more effectively. But a big thing about government secrecy is quite often not anything involving real secrets or secrets that are necessary, but just trying to keep the public from knowing about embarrassing behavior by our government. And for sure, Gary Webb, when he wrote Dark Alliance, embarrassed a lot of people and made the government look pretty bad.
Yeah, so you come along with, as we were saying, Kill the Messenger, and then you have Dark Alliance, now you have this movie. Did you have a chance to interact at all with anything to do with the movie?
Well, by the time the book came out, I was approached by the screenwriter who ended up writing the script, and so I worked closely with him, and also getting the Webb family involved in the project as well. And I was really lucky, actually, to be able to go on set once production finally started in Atlanta for a couple of days. And I was actually an extra because I found out that they were actually trying to hire real journalists as extras for the newsroom scenes. And so I pointed out to one of the producers that I happened to be a journalist and that I was available. So they were kind to include me in a couple of shots.
So was that pretty cool to be on the set to see that come to life?
It was cool, and in fact, I met other former journalists that had lost work that were actually getting work as extras, portraying real journalists in film productions, which was, you know, a little bittersweet, but you know, that's the way it goes. It was still very exciting, of course.
Yeah, and you said you're lucky to still be in the business. Of course, you're the managing editor of OC Weekly. How do you keep that pumping out there and people engaged in it?
Well, I mean, the main thing as an editor, which is a new position for me after being a reporter for so many years, is trying to motivate younger reporters and try to mentor them and kind of keep that faith alive. And when you do that effectively and when your writers are really invested in the stories they write, you know, it's something that sort of keeps the spirit of journalism alive. And it is its own reward, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, I just feel it's a calling. Journalism is really something that I think, despite all of the dangers that it seems to be facing as a profession, is something that everybody who's involved with it should feel very lucky to be a part of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. All right, you pumped out some more pulp, too. You also wrote Orange Sunshine and The Weed Runners. Tell me about The Weed Runners.
Yeah, so a big story in California over the last several years, of course, has been medical marijuana. And so Weed Runners is basically taking a look at how California functions in this underground pot economy and the kind of disconnect there is between the on the one hand, you have medical marijuana activists and patient groups that are trying to get access for something that's legal, at least in California, now in other states like Colorado and Washington State, and where the real money is typically made, which is all over the country. So it's a very tricky industry to cover, for example, because when I pitched the book originally, it looked like recreational marijuana was, you know, the wave of the future. Even in California, it looked very close to happening. And then all of a sudden, the Obama administration decided to crack down on the industry, and all my sources sort of went scattering a little bit. But it's certainly a very exciting industry to cover. And The Weed Runners tells the story through all these different characters of the last several years of the pot wars.
Yeah, and Orange Sunshine. What's that?
Orange Sunshine was probably the funnest story I've ever written. It was about a group of Laguna Beach hippies and surfers who basically befriended Timothy Leary. And they set up a big drug distribution network that took hash all the way from Afghanistan to the streets of Southern California and beyond. And they also invented their own form of LSD, which was Orange Sunshine, which was very famous back in the day. And it was kind of one of the last really mysterious groups of the 1960s that no one had ever really managed to penetrate. And I was able to track down a lot of members of the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. That was their name. The Rolling Stone magazine called them the Hippie Mafia. And, you know, I got them to tell their story for the first time, which was really exciting to do.
Yeah, no kidding. So this, Kill the Messenger, the movie, have you already seen it?
I have, yes. I attended the premiere and saw it for the first time in New York on October 9th.
So I know you're not going to give us a thumbs down. Was it cool to sit there and see it? Was it good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a really, although it is a very serious story and a tragic one in some ways, the movie itself is actually very thrilling. You get to sort of follow Gary Webb as he discovers the secrets behind Dark Alliance and chasing after all these sources going down to Central America, for example. And then you see the aftermath of the story as well. So it's a really important movie, and I'm really glad that Focus Features made it, and especially glad that Jeremy Renner decided to not only produce this movie, which is how it got made, obviously, but also star as Gary Webb. It's one of his best performances ever, certainly, you know, his best performance since The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, I would imagine you had a chance to hang with him a little bit. Was he pretty cool?
Oh, super cool, yeah. Yeah, he's a very charismatic guy, and he really captures Gary Webb's personality very well. Having actually known Gary Webb, you know, at the time that he was doing this work, Renner really got it, and it really comes across in the movie.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it. Nick Scow, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
The show must go on isn't always true in the world of sports. Sometimes Mother Nature gets her way. That's next with me, the sports princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Pure Life Water, helping you drink better and live better by providing a zero-calorie alternative to sugary drinks. Visit us at nestle-purelife.us. When kids are playing, they often don't want to stop to keep hydrated. So send them out with a bottle of water and encourage them to take frequent drink breaks or call them inside for a quick sip. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
This week, the Royals and the Orioles were forced to postpone Game 3 because the rain was so steady it saturated the field at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Major League VP Peter Woodfork said they wanted a game where they knew they could get through 9 innings of dry baseball, not risk player safety, or have uncomfortable fans. It wasn't always that way. There was a game in July of 2006, I remember, a storm that caused the biggest power outage in the city of St. Louis, one they still say is the biggest. It didn't end the game between the Cards and the Braves. Luckily for all the fans who sat through 75-mile-an-hour winds at Busch Stadium, the Cards won 8-3. Later, T-shirts were sold with the saying, "I survived the July 19, 2006 storm at Busch Stadium." Hoping to avoid those types of slogans, more games are called when it really looks like there's no hope that the weather will improve. I've sat through my fair share in the past. How about you? I'm the Sports Princess, and that's Sports Shorts.
Speaking of baseball, here as we make those last
couple of right turns. How about the walk-off error that gave the Giants a 2-1 lead? And San Francisco leads that series 2-1. What a wild finish to that game. We'll go into that in a second. And then the Orioles and KC. Now Kansas City, as I was saying, I thought they were such a team of destiny. 3-0. Matt, you were probably keeping your eye on maybe both of these games, and it's not disappointing so far to see the finishes in baseball here. Both games I thought were pretty interesting. What'd you think?
Yeah, definitely. How crazy it is to win on a bunt walk-off.
Oh.
That's kind of ridiculous. And then you have KC, who they're up 3-0 now.
Wow.
Another game at home, and they have yet to lose a playoff game this
year.
That's
crazy. Oh, so crazy. You know, and it was a close game. What was the final score? 2-1,
yeah,
right?
2-1, and KC came back, and they got a run. I think it was in the, what was it, the seventh inning, I think, when they had the go-ahead run? Maybe the eighth. I think it was the seventh.
No, it was the sixth inning. Sixth inning, they got a run, yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, the KC bullpen is just untouchable right now, and that's how they're winning, pitching and defense.
Yeah, they just find a way to get it done. I mean, they've won 10 straight postseason games. Like you said, they haven't lost all seven this year in their first playoff appearance in 29 years. Wow. I mean, so this is an incredible task for the Orioles. They have to come all the way back. They'd have to win four games to win it.
Which
unlikely.
It's possible. It's just not very likely, and I don't see it happening. I really think, you know, it's the clinching game. You're at home. You're up 3-0. All you need to do is get a couple runs early. You start getting the heads of the Orioles. And then, I mean, once you get it to the late innings of that bullpen, I mean, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about the Giants and their win on the throwing error. 10 innings, 2-1 lead. And this was, like we said, this was another game that was really close. 5-4 was the final score in it. But, I mean, it was wild to see that happen. And, you know, he fouled off a bunt try, then pushed one to the left side of the mound, I think, remembering watching a little bit of it. And then it sails past second, and, you know, I'll tell you, this series has been a tough series, but they're on top of it right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, the throwing error hits on the pitcher when he just... He was obviously hurrying, trying to get the out at one and then have them look to make sure the run doesn't score because the runners were going from first and second, you know, advancing to the next base. And he threw it just wide left of the first baseman. It goes in the outfield, and the runner easily scores, and the game's over. So, I mean, I don't think I've seen a playoff game end like that before that I can remember, at least. I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
You know what was wild about this game, too? In this game, Hudson hit Lackey and with a pitch on his left elbow right in the fifth inning. So it made Lackey the first pitcher to be hit by a pitch in the postseason since Steve Carlton, who I followed when I was a kid.
Wow.
From the Phillies. I know. Still think about the lefty. Was plunked by Tommy John. I like how you said that. Tommy John in the 77 National League Championship Series. I mean, that's how far you have to go back. That's crazy.
Well, and obviously, when you're the one, I mean, not relative at all, but I pitch in softball. Well, I used to, and then I got hit too many times by line drives up the middle, and that's the one thing. When I never try to go up the middle because, as a pitcher, I knew that people would try to hit it back up the middle of me if I was the one who was doing it. So it's just like a cardinal rule where if you're the pitcher, you're not trying to hit the guy because you're going to be in the batter's box and, you know, you're probably going to get plunked unless, I mean, this is a different situation when you're in a playoff game. But if the score was different, I definitely would have think that there would have been retaliation.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I got to ask you this, too. This is crazy. When would we think that this would happen again with the Cowboys? And a Cowboy was arrested, the reserve running back, Joseph Randall, arrested for shoplifting from a mall on Monday night. I mean, here's a guy who makes like $500,000, and I guess it was one of those questions of, you know, I don't want to pay for my underwear, because he stole underwear and cologne from a Dillard's store in a mall.
Well, the first thought for me was, wow, Dillard's is still around, because I haven't heard that name since the 80s. So that was a little flashback for me, because they're not around Minnesota anymore. But, yeah, and another thing, too, I was thinking about picking up this guy in fantasy, because the Cowboys have been running the ball so well, and DeMarco Murray's getting a lot of tread on the tires, so he's his backup. I'm thinking, oh, this would be a savvy move, but now I don't know what to think. But how dumb are you to? I think there has to be some kind of more like explanation to this story, because I can't believe that if you're making $500,000 a year, and obviously there's other things, living expenses and whatnot, but you're going to tell me that you can't afford to buy underwear? And
well,
who's wearing cologne anyways these days?
Well, and the cologne is the most expensive part of that. It was a 2-pack black polo underwear, so that was about $39.50, and this is like the Price is Right. And the Gucci Guilty Black Cologne is what it was called, $84.
I don't know. My generation is not really wearing cologne anymore, so I don't know.
Well, he's your generation, so
that's why I'm saying I don't know what he's doing. Because I remember in high school, people were wearing cologne, and then as soon as I got to college, it was like, no, that is not a thing to do anymore. And I don't know anybody my age that is wearing cologne anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Cologne is passe. There is nothing worse than a man who lathers up and smells like a giant piece of cologne.
Oh,
I mean, it's
like
overwhelming.
Fill up the room with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so annoying.
That's what it is. It's because the cologne is too overwhelming, so it's obvious that you're on the make or you're spiffed up.
Yeah, you gotta be
there's
a
only two
more
reasons.
Subtle.
Yeah, there's only two reasons. One, you're trying to pick up a woman, or two, you're just this is your going out cologne from the 70s, I guess. Because you know, God, that's what men would wear. Married men, they weren't trying to pick up women then, but that was like a, hey, I got my nice polo shirt on and my cologne lather all over me.
Well, clearly, Mr. Randall needs to go find his Marshalls or TJ Maxx and get something more in his price range, because you can find some deals right there. And I don't know what it is that you. I mean, it boggles my mind that someone make. I mean, it's like the Winona Ryder thing, where she was, you know, caught shoplifting. She's making millions of dollars. It's just like, what are you doing? You don't need to be doing that.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's something more to that story. I think it's crazy, too. But it could be a psychological thing. He's not going to get suspended. And they say they're going to fine him. They'll give him some kind of fine, the Cowboys will. But they're not going to suspend him.
But is the league going to suspend him, though?
For cologne and panties, underwear.
I don't know. Hey, their players are—it's hypersensitive NFL these days. I have no idea what's going on, and I don't know if he's going to get suspended or not.
Can you imagine getting that call, Roger Goodell? We're on the bat phone. We got a problem with another bad boy in the NFL. He stole some cologne, Gucci cologne, and he got some black polo underwear. What should we do with Randall? Do we need to suspend him for 6 games or what? It could be the start of something new in the NFL.
The other thing, too, that is just mind-blowing to me is he's a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, that's the number one team in all of Texas, in most of the country. He's obviously going to be recognizable. I just don't understand.
Why? That. I just have to say that. Why would you do that?
Complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.